America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think this is the only legit playoff contender where the coach is a question mark. The coach is a question mark. No coach takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. It's unacceptable that they continue, and beyond lucky that Trevor Lawrence throws that interception. Because if Trevor Lawrence leads their team down and they win that football game, I don't think Nick Sirianni's walking in Tuesday morning as the head coach of the football team.
Woo! Dan Orlovsky brought it this morning there.
Brought that fire.
Well, I mean, it's a strong way to say it. The way he framed it, no coach in the NFL takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. Nine yesterday. Hugh Douglas, 9 points. And I understand the idea he was trying to chase some, right, because they didn't get the first conversion. He was trying to get the second. But sometimes, like, don't you just need to have the coach take a deep breath? Like, hey, all right, we missed that one. Let's just put one on the board here.
You do something different.
Yeah.
But he doubled down. He was going out his way. Regardless of what happened, Coach Sirianni, I should say, give him the respect that he just do. He decided to do it the way that he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And he was being aggressive. And it didn't work. And it had me scratching my head, especially the first one. Had me scratching my head.
You're talking about the one when they're up 16-0?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're sitting on the field, and I'm trying to figure out, because at that point, we're looking at the box score.
Yep.
Because it was on the field. It was on the Jumbotron. They had like 32 yards total offense.
They couldn't move the ball half.
And I'm like, why are you going for two? Just take the one and keep it moving, because they're not moving the ball. And I remember Troy said, man, they got 32 yards. he said, dog, they got 32 yards in the first half.
Like, the idea is that team has no chance. Just stack the points and get out with a victory. All right, 215-592-9494. For 10 minutes from now, a big Hugh breakdown. The way I saw it yesterday, there were five critical Nick Sirianni decisions. Actually, six. We'll go with six critical Nick Sirianni decisions. 9 points could have been on the board if he did something different. Chose to do it the way he did. We'll go through the six of the decisions with Hugh coming up in about 10 minutes. His take on all of them and which ones kind of drove us the most. That's, and which ones are defensible. I don't think they were all ridiculous, but in total, it's like watching a gambler. Every one they just get wrong. Even if the idea was right, it's just loss, 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 and then you chase it. All right, Jabbo in Horsham's up. Hey, Jabbo.
We all need to relax. We are 6-2 on a 4-game winning streak. Okay, it's not how, it's how many. I mean, come on. How many teams right now would love to be 6-2?
Bunch of them.
Did you say this last year at 10-1, Jabbo, or did I imagine last season at 10-1?
We're not talking last year. We're talking right now.
But the point is, the point is. The record in early November, that doesn't matter. It's the details. How are you getting there?
And the devil, was in the details.
Well, the issue last year was they weren't as good as their record. The issue this year is they have talent. Their talent is really good. It's better talent than last year. The coach is making mistakes left and right.
How about if you're 2-6 right now? Does that matter?
But they're not 2-6.
Yes, it does, but we're not. We're 6-2.
Did you like the way the coach coached yesterday?
No, I didn't.
All right,
but we won, so everybody just shut up. Everybody, come on.
I guess that if we adopt that philosophy, Joe, then we ain't gonna have to talk about it.
He's not getting fired, and And you know, one thing too, I was listening earlier. It's the Commanders, not the Commodores.
Hey, Jabbo,
he's right, Hugh.
Jabbo, this ain't Jabbo.
Not dumb like what?
This ain't my first radio. I know what I'm saying. I'm a grown ass man. I call them the Commodores. You call them the Commanders. I call them the Commodores.
Jabbo, anything else we screwed up? You'd like to correct?
I didn't know. I just thought, you know, you call him the Commodore.
No, I call him the Commodores. Yeah.
Jabba, let me ask you a question. If N'Kobe doesn't catch the ball and they lose that game,
what's your sentiment this
everything
morning?
Everything the same is the same.
N'Kobe did catch the ball, but
we did this last year. This is why I point back to last year.
Joel.
We did this last year. We sat here like idiots with our heads in our you know where, and we said, "Oh, this doesn't matter. Look at the record." And then we came crashing down, Jabba. We got to get better at the coach position. He's got to be better than this.
Hey, you, one more thing.
Yes.
Still there?
You're here. We're here, Jabbo. What's up?
Okay. You also said crazy like a fox.
Oh,
it's
my goodness
like
gracious.
Jabbo. It's dumb like a fox.
I don't give a shit.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy like a fox, Jabbo. It was
Jabbo. It's dumb like a fox.
No, Jabbo. It was a show back in the day. It was called Crazy Like a Fox. I watched a lot
Come
of TV
on,
growing
man,
up.
Really?
It was a show called Crazy Like a Fox.
1984, 1986, yep.
Are you making that up?
No.
Jabbo,
I'm gonna check it right now. Call
Jabbo,
you back.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
It might sound like I make
Jack
up.
Warden was in that. I love Jack Warden.
I pretend, but yeah, it was a show called Crazy Like a Fox.
You gotta go find that. You gotta stream that, Jabbo.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now.
You go stream crazy like Vox. Jabbo, good phone call. I mean, listen, there's no reason not to be excited about where the team is going. I think it's okay Jabbo said that. And that's part of it. They have won four in a row. They did dominate the game in a lot of ways yesterday. Kyle brought it up. I mean, the game probably shouldn't have been as clear. That's the point. That's why there's some frustration out there, because we all watched the game, right? The Eagles were so much better than the Jaguars snap to snap. You said it, Hugh, they had 30 yards or whatever at halftime. Like, they dominated the box score. They had over 200 more yards. They had three or four players on the offense that are better than all the Jaguars players combined. They should have won this game by three scores.
Yeah.
Instead, we're biting our nails with a minute to go.
Yeah, and it was some questionable plays. Like, it was one play where they were trying to go for the first down, and they were going for a passing play. And Jalen Hurts is back there. There were no receivers open. And he's back there scrambling for his life. It was one of those games where you're happy you got the win. But like I said earlier, as a former player, you look at it and you're like, okay, what if you always do the what ifs? If we're playing a better team, then we don't get those opportunities. We gotta take advantage of the opportunities that we have, because to make the mistakes that we've made and to chase the points that we were chasing, that could put us in a bad spot.
So what was Crazy Like a Fox about? Was that they solved crimes?
I don't remember. They were like detectives.
It was the father and son. They were detectives?
Yeah, they were detectives.
And their name were Fox, right? Harry Fox and Harrison Fox.
And the premise is they didn't seem like they were that bright, but actually they were pretty good at solving crimes and stuff. So that's what it was about.
So is Sirianni the opposite? Where he didn't...
No, Sirianni's crazy like a fox. What he's doing... Now, I don't... It's not lost on me that Coach Sirianni, for whatever we think about him, is 6-2, and this team loves him. But I'm not in that building, so it's not my job to sit here and pound the drum for Coach Sirianni. I'm giving you the perspective as a former player, somebody that's played the game, and you're looking at it, and you're saying to yourself, this formula, although they're winning with it, this formula might not – it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not a sustainable formula when you're going out there making egregious mistakes, leaving 9 points on the board. But at the same time, like I said, as a former player, you look at him, hey, man, we got to win. Bottom line, that's how everybody in that building feels. I'm not in that building. I don't work for the Eagles. I work for Odyssey. And my job is to tell you what I see and how it is, and try to explain to you to the best of my ability what potentially is going on in that building.
So Jabbo got upset because I brought up last year. I actually think this is similar but way different than last year. Last year, I didn't even think they were that good. Like, despite the record, I didn't think the team, the players, were that good. I just thought it was a bad defense, and the offense was too up and down, and I just felt like, how could they continue to win?
Mm-hmm.
This year, Hugh, the more you watch it, this is a good roster. They have a lot of really good players. They have impact players. The defense is getting better, and they're growing. The concern now is, will the coach screw up what should be a lot? They have a lot of games down the stretch they should win, right?
Yeah.
Now, the next month is tough, but they'll play Carolina in December. They'll play the Giants. They'll play a Cowboys team that might just not be good at all twice. They got to make sure they don't blow games. And every time you watch Sirianni, you're like,
and just look at it
blow
from,
a game?
Look at it from this perspective. We went through a week of the last 4 weeks. We won 4 football games.
Yep.
We're on a roll. But think about the roller coaster ride we've been on with our head coach. He has his Britney Spears moment. He bounces back from that, and this team against the Cincinnati Bengals looks like they're on a trajectory where, you know, we're playing eastbound and south, south down and bound, getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. You know, and I'm feeling strong about that. We come back this week, and even though we won and the quarterback played well, there are still some things that reared their ugly head that got everybody a little bit concerned. Now, I'm still on board with the Super Bowl east, southbound, and down and all other stuff. But I think that since what we've been through last year, it's kind of foolish to just sit here and think that everything is okay. Because we've seen this. We've been down this road before as fans. We saw the collapse towards the end of the season. So to sit here and just say, oh, you know what? It's a win. That's fine. It is a win. But let's not be foolish to what happened last year. Because we saw it happen last year, and we stuck our head in the sand. Hell, we went to Tampa Bay, and we stuck our head in the sand, and we called in and told them, oh, they're going to blow Tampa Bay Buccaneers out, yada, yada, yada. And we got our asses kicked. We don't want to live that again. That's why people are not happy about what they saw yesterday.
Yeah, and I think the NFL in general, just the games are too close for him not to matter.
Exactly.
Right? Like, as we come down the stretch of the season, they're going to be a lot better than some teams that they play, like the Giants or, you know, whoever. The Panthers we'll see in December. There's also going to be a lot of games. Maybe the Commanders game, the Rams game, the Ravens game, the Steelers game. And then whoever they play, you know, assuming they're going to be in the playoffs, where the game's going to be tight. And it's going to come down to a couple decisions here or there, when to be super aggressive, when to not. And it's very hard to have faith in the coach when it feels like...
Ask yourself this question,
I don't know what he's doing.
Ask yourself this question. If Andy Reid was on the other sideline coaching, and we made those egregious mistakes, do we come out with a victory with that game?
No.
Not taking a shot at Dougie P, but Dougie P is under fire right now down there in Jacksonville. And I saw a meme the other day where, you know, the Spider-Man meme where everybody's pointing at each other?
Yeah.
It was Doug and Coach Sirianni, like two of the same. They're both in a situation where they had a tremendous amount of success early on, and now everybody's starting to question whether or not, you know, what's going on. So I think it's fair to ask the question. If Andy Reid, if Sean McVay, if who's the other? Sean Payton on the other sideline, and we're playing those teams or playing those guys, do you think we still come out with a win?
No, probably not. Yeah, I think we're a couple weeks away. You know how we've done the run the ball chance? We're a couple weeks away from the take the points chance at the lane.
Hell, I would even throw Dan Quinn in there. Coach Quinn.
Well, they're going to see him in 2 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. Do we win that game? Because that quarterback they got down there, bona fide, looked like. He looked like he's bona fide.
Yeah, well, I mean, Trevor Lawrence handing the ball to the Eagles at the end. That was a bad throw by Lawrence. It helped us get out with a win. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phones, let's do a little Big Hue breakdown and go through. Because the way I viewed it, there were 6 decisions yesterday by Sirianni that we could debate whether or not they were terrible, okay, not great. Hue, let me throw them at you one by one.
Okay.
And then we'll kind of go through. Did we think this was really bad, questionable, or were you okay with it? All right, let's start with the first one. They're up 10-0, 4th-and-3, and they, instead of going for the field goal, this is the second quarter, they go for the 4th. That's where Jalen threw it to AJ, and he kind of floated it, and it was knocked down by the defender. So instead of going up 13-0 on what would have probably been a 40-yard field goal.
4th-and-3.
4th-and-3. They throw it to AJ, incomplete. So instead of going up 13-0 on a field goal, it's 10-0.
I feel like in that situation, this is me. The way that Saquon Barkley was on a heater, I take my chance with him with the 3 yards, with the 3 carries.
So you
the 3 yard carry.
So you didn't mind going for it. You just would have done something different.
I would have done something a little different. I'd have done something a little different in that situation.
All right. I would have kicked the field goal. But all right, they want to be super aggressive. They
I mean, because that's kind of who Coach Sirianni is, so I really didn't have a problem with that.
So, but that was 3 points that could have been there that just weren't there. Next one, this is the one you brought up a couple times. Right before the half, there's a flag on the extra point. So I think this is the one where they literally took a point off the board, right? Because the extra point went through by Elliott. It was 17-0. Flag on the play. They move the ball up to the 1 yard line. Now you can go for 2 easier. They go for it, Hue. They don't get it. So the score stays 16-0. That one is one I think you were shaking your head like,
well,
why?
I didn't understand that one. To be honest, I was looking at that play, and I was trying to.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To figure out what analytics is telling you to go for that 2-point play in that situation when you're already up 16 points and that offense has not been moving the ball. And that's the main reason why the first one, I didn't feel like it was a bad situation. I felt like you should have went for it because that offense at that point was inept.
So, all right. You asked what analytics. I think it's as simple as this. When there's a penalty and the ball is moved to the one, It becomes a much easier 2-point conversion, right? You could do a lot of different plays and just get 1 yard, including the tush push. So I get why he was probably inclined to do it. But that's where you got to read the room. Go up three scores. They've had 32 yards the whole game. All right, that was number two. So now at this point, we have 4 points off the board. The third decision here that I believe is the one most people were the most annoyed about. The Eagles go up 22-0. Unnecessary roughness on the Cisco guy in the second round. He takes out Fred Johnson's legs. Again, that was one where they moved the ball to the 1 yard line. Hugh, they could have had a 23-0 lead. They said they go for the two. They don't get it, so it's 22-0. Now, the fourth decision, this is what I meant. This is the one people are most bad about. Jaguars cut it to 22-16. So, at this point, 5 points Sirianni's kind of responsible for. Jaguars cut it to 22-16. Fourth down try, 125 left in the third. They throw the ball. This is why I think where Jalen was pressured and he kind of runs backwards.
Yeah, he was
backwards.
Running around, yeah.
So that's one where they could have kicked
Nobody
the field goal.
Nobody was open. That was a bad
They could have went up 9 points. They could have went up two scores again. Mm-hmm. And instead, they went for it. Kyle, I think that's the one, and you were probably the least of us today frustrated at Sirianni. That was the one I think got you, the 22-16 not going for the field goal.
Yeah, I mean, that just feels like so I'm never the kind of guy like, if you're going to be aggressive, always be aggressive. Or if you're going to be conservative, always be conservative. I think you need to have a feel for the moment and what each moment requires. In that moment, I felt the best thing for them was to make it a two-possession game. I mean, the going for it there or whatever. I mean, if you kick a field goal, you make it 9 points.
Yep.
And that puts it at a two-possession game. I just felt like that was the biggest one for me where I'm like, all right, dude, you know, that's not a time where you need to be aggressive and say, I trust the guys. Like, just get 9 points. You're leaking a little bit. You can sort of bring the momentum back in your favor or at least take it from the Jags. That one I didn't like.
So the devil's in the details for me, Hugh. If the Jaguars had scored on two offensive possessions in a row and you feel like their offense is revving up, maybe I get going for it, but one of those touchdowns was a defensive score, right? The Jaguars' offense really didn't get going game.
They didn't. And it was one of those things where you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out. Like, I'm not advocating to fire Coach Sirianni. I'm trying to understand analytics in this situation. I'm trying to understand what in this moment made you feel with this offense that was anemic as it was, made you feel like those were the right decisions to make in this moment.
So the fifth one, and this is probably the one I was least annoyed about, was when they scored the touchdown, the Devontae touchdown, right, to go up 28-16. I get why he went for two there, because you want to try to go up two scores again.
Yeah,
right?
I get that one.
Yeah, you want to go up 14. Now, they didn't get it. It stayed a 12-point game. So those are the five decisions. You add it all up, it would have been 9 extra points if he just did it simply. Now, the last one, what did you think about the field goal by Jake Elliott, Hugh? Now, that wasn't one where he took points off the board. He tried to put points on the board. But that was a weird spot. That's a long field goal. He hadn't kicked much
the whole game.
And they're up 5, right? So the field goal does not put you up 2 scores. You're still only up 8. You don't necessarily definitely win the game by making that field goal. Would you have kicked the field goal? Would you have punted? You could have punted.
I would have punted it. I would have tried to, like, what they call the directional punt and try to pin them as close as I possibly could to the end zone. and do it that way. I didn't understand that. That's when it gets a little crazy for me, because you're trying to kick the field goal. And if I'm not mistaken, you say five, it'll get you three. That's math.
Eight.
Yeah, and if they'd have went for two, we'd have been in a bad spot.
You only guarantee a tie at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle, the other thing there is they could have went for that. After all the aggression, there's three options, right? Hugh said punt. They did go for the field goal. If they go for it, then they get the first down. They end the game. The Jaguars never get the ball back.
Yeah, I guess the thing about kicking the field goal there is if you don't get it, then the way that the defense was playing, I'm almost okay with taking the shot to try and get points there. I know by that point they'd let up that touchdown, and it was, well, two touchdowns, I guess, right? Because one of them was scored from their defense. But I did like the way the defense was playing enough to where you're like, I don't really care how much of the field the Jags have. Like, I can put my defense out there and trust them to make a stop.
No, it was one of those, but it's still, even with that being said, Kyle, you still was like, because we've been through that before. It was a little nerve wracking.
I think this is the second time this season they've kind of iced Elliott, right? Where they don't use him for a while, and then they ask him to come in. And it's not a 37-yard. It's not even 40. 57 is, that's a long field.
I know.
Goal.
Well, yeah, like, look.
Nice and long.
We talk about Jalen Hurts getting paid and you know, taking his foot off the gas a little bit. This guy, Jake Elliott, man. He's not nailing those 50-yarders this season like he had in the past.
He's not. Too much golf for Jake Elliott or something? I don't know.
He did not lock in this offseason. Yeah, he got the paycheck and took off.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but six decisions by Sirianni that were wild yesterday. I think three of them were probably justifiable. Three I thought were just bad. Violet's in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet.
Well, I agree with everything y'all said. I can see maybe going for one or two of those when we had the lead, and maybe he's thinking, hey, you know, it's good practice. But once they started getting back in the game, you need to take the points. I mean, you know, you can't mess around, especially when it comes down to when we play better teams, you have to take the points. But I'm really excited about the defense. Jalen is looking great. Barkley, oh, my God, I don't even know where he came from.
He's special, Violet. They have some special players. I mean, I'm glad that's the reason to be excited. I mean, because they have players that if they play at their capability, Hugh, this team can make a real run.
Yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, I'm still bullish on this team, no question about it. And I'll take a win as a win all day long. I'm taking that.
I do want to say, Mr. Douglas, it is such an honor to be able to call and actually talk to you. I absolutely adore you. You're such an awesome player. I'm so glad you're an Eagle.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Violet, good call. We appreciate it. How about that?
Appreciation. She was gushing right there.
I know. I mean, you know, Kyle and I don't seem to have the same feeling every day when we talk to you.
No, the shine's worn off.
Yeah. Now you just
he's just one of the guys.
All the different kinds of hues we have in here.
Yeah, just one of the guys.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. Good call, Violet. All right, on the other side, your phone calls here. Plus, we got to hear from a couple of players. What happened? I mean, what happened? Was it just Sirianni, or were the players, you know, obviously partially responsible for the comeback by the Jaguars yesterday that made it such a close game? We'll hear from a couple of players what Lane Johnson and Zach Bond said about the end of that game. Howard Eskin joins us at noon.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.